Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Sarab Qatari, the Director of Merchant Advocacy at Signified. Sarab, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Karen.
This is episode 2 in our Global Fraud Index podcast series, where we take a deeper dive into some of the topics that we explore in our quarterly Global Fraud Index. And today, we're going to dive into a particular segment that unfortunately is a victim of the growing incidence of cyber fraud, and that is one of my favorites, unfortunately, apparel. Clothing, accessories, shoes, and sunglasses, I buy them all. So Sarab, help us understand what the state of cyber fraud is in that particular segment, my favorite.
So yeah, I'm sorry that the news is not good. In a segment you like so much, Karen, is that the growth in e-commerce fraud in apparel is alarming. There's specifically a spike in account takeover fraud within apparel, but also stolen financials. We're basically looking at greater fraud losses this year than last year, and I think it's for a number of reasons that I think we'll get into.
So why? Why is this category a perfect target? It does seem as though, on the one hand, we always think about consumer electronics as being a magnet for fraudsters, but why have they shifted to things like clothing and shoes?
So it's a good question, and it has somewhat to do with the global economy. So there's a lot of demand for apparel, especially shoes, accessories, and better known brands. There are a lot of brands that are growing fast. This is good for the apparel industry, and a whole new wave of brands that are gaining popularity globally. It's bad for fraud, because what it means is that you're looking at consumers, you're looking at fraudsters being able to emulate consumer buying activity in one country, and then getting hold of those products and goods and being able to sell them everywhere. So apparel merchants, for example, have been wary of international orders because of higher likelihood of fraud, which is not entirely true. There's a lot of orders you can take internationally where there is no fraud. But because they see patterns from certain countries, they start to hesitate to sell to those countries. But what is actually happening is that fraudsters are emulating purchases, especially, for example, from the state of New York. Tremendous amount of fraudulent activity from IP addresses routed through New York servers that end up being shipped overseas and sold overseas for a premium. So fraudsters are actually selling apparel overseas for more than the retailer can sell the same apparel here in the U.S. Just makes it so much more attractive and especially a problem during the holiday season.
So I'm curious to get your thoughts on what particular types of apparel. So is this the luxury brands, or are there other categories that are more attractive for other reasons?
Every time we talk about fraud, the number one assumption is, well, this has to be the more expensive stuff, right? That's what people steal. Because our mind always goes back to retail scenarios and how people steal in the physical world. And that's not necessarily the case. That's where the defenses are highest. We'll come back to that point on luxury, but what is really growing in terms of a segment within apparel for fraud is, well, let's call it affordable luxury, and specifically in apparel, it's the athleisure brands. And I don't know how familiar our audience is with athleisure, but this is essentially the athletic gear that you wear for the non-athletic purposes. You're wearing what looks like sports clothing, but it's for more casual and even in some cases for smart visual, business wear. And so I'll give a few examples, or probably the most famous is in shoes, Yeezys, which is the collaboration between Adidas and Kanye West. They fall right there in athleisure, where they are sneakers, but they're very stylish. They're meant to be worn really not for sporting activities. This is a very hot segment in apparel, athleisure is, for fraud, because demand for athleisure is far greater than supply is currently being provided.
So does this suggest that, I'm not sure what the average price is to buy a pair of Yeezys, but does this suggest that the fraud is in sub $500 categories? There's just more volume in the lower categories, so as not to trigger fraud alarms. Is that what's happening?
So that's actually a great point, and I can break that down by the numbers. But coming back to Yeezys for just a minute, if you were to get your hands on a pair of Yeezys when they were released, which very few people did, this is another alarming trend. Limited release editions in athleisure and in apparel more broadly create this tremendous amount of pent-up demand that is not met on initial sale. So if you can't buy a pair of Yeezys for $200 to $300, you have to. Everybody does, because you can't get them anywhere else. You have to buy them on the resale market, and there they can sell for up to $1,500.
Wow.
Now remember, a fraudster pays nothing.
Right.
They pay nothing. They're never going to pay for the product. So why not get $1,500 for a pair of sneakers instead of $300 or $400 or even $600 or $700 for a pair of Air Jordans that are being much more heavily guarded, especially with athleisure? A lot of the transactions are happening on resale markets because of limited edition availability, where merchants are much more likely to complete a transaction with what looks like good credit card information. So this is a compounding problem of limited supply being met with overwhelming global demand that's creating this accelerated fraud for apparel. But let me come back, Karen, to the point you made about transaction values. So we've historically always seen higher fraud with higher transaction amounts. And especially above $500, you see a lot more attempts at fraud, because you know, as a fraudster, you would assume that they would want to get the highest valued item to sell it for the most amount of immediate cash. Actually, fraud from Q1 through Q2 this year in stolen financials declined. For orders over $500, where actually merchants are doing a better job of being able to determine fraud for higher value orders. What increased significantly was account takeover fraud for over $500, but stolen financials are higher for transactions between $1 to $500. Account takeover fraud is also higher for transactions between $1 to $500. That's the alarming trend, especially heading into the holiday season. Order values that don't seem that high in apparel, $150 to order or $220 order, these are not that high in the apparel industry. This is where a bulk of fraud is successfully making it through. Merchants are not able to stop it, and their losses are increasing.
So, Saurabh, you mentioned holiday season, and you know that typically is a time where we see fraud rates declining because there's so much more volume around good transactions. Are you expecting that to continue this holiday season? Because we actually didn't see that happening last year.
So I'm expecting that this holiday season, especially with the abundance of private data and credit card information that's now available and the sophistication that fraudsters have, unfortunately, I'm expecting an all-out assault.
Wow.
This holiday season. Yes, the fraud will not grow as much as the overall volume, but we are expecting a lot more fraudulent activity than we had last year, just because fraudsters can. Their ability now to mask so much of their transactional information and to get such high quality information that really emulates consumer behavior, it's just that much better than it was last year.
So Saurabh, are there particular retailers or brands that are being targeted, and if so, who are they and how are they trying to fight back?
Great question. And I'd actually like to answer this a little differently, Karen, because the brands you expect, the brands that are well known, are being targeted, but they've always been targeted. I'd actually like to provide, if you will, two examples. These are merchants we work with at Signified. That are gaining popularity, may not be as well known, but I want to talk about their specific stories, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So the first one I want to talk about is a company that has really changed the way they view fraud from when they first joined us. So out of the Northeast, this is a company that you might be familiar with since you're based in Boston, Tuckernuck.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually represent that Northeast New Hampshire sort of boating culture, you know, think loafers, think nice sweaters, nice dresses, right? A wonderful summer in Nantucket, that or Cape Cod. That's their feel. So what Tuckernuck was actually facing was fraud from very specific geographies, and this was consistent. And as a merchant, you can make the decision that you just start refusing orders from that location, but then you're really turning down good business as well. And what it turns out, once they were able to actually stop the fraud, is that, yes, there was a certain amount of activity coming from certain areas, but there was also a tremendous amount of activity being routed through routers in certain areas that makes it seem like the activity is coming from there, a particular state, for example, where, in fact, the activity could well be coming from overseas.
Hmm.
So this was a good example of an apparel merchant not turning down business, finding another solution so that they can take legitimate orders while still being able to identify where the actual threat is coming from. So that's one example, and that's one I like to share with all merchants so that they're not declining legitimate business.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is a little different. So we have a merchant in New York, Paul Evans.
Mm-hmm.
They actually create really high-quality handmade Italian leather shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And these are shoes that would normally sell for a much higher price, but because Paul Evans sells directly to consumers, they have a great deal. And so consumers are around the world are buying these handmade, you know, genuine leather Italian shoes, and the brand is picking up. Now, there's two things about their brand that is really kind of spectacular, but both also make them a target for fraud. First of all, like a growing number of merchants, they offer free international shipping.
Mm-hmm.
They have a high-end product. They get demand from around the world. So they eliminate the concern about shipping. They'll ship it to the user wherever they are. The second is that they offer a 365-day guarantee. So that if you're trying a new brand in the shoe space, they're making it easy for you to make that decision, because you can return it.
Wow.
Now, they faced a lot of pressure from orders overseas that they need in order to grow their business, but fraud came with that. For a merchant like Paul Evans, it's actually critical that they're able to accept orders from overseas because of the product that they sell. There's a lot of demand for high-end shoes from Europe, from Asia, from Africa, from Australia, from the Middle East. So they cannot limit themselves by just selling domestically. Being able to accept those orders internationally has actually significantly affected their growth. That's kind of the point of the second story. In the apparel industry, fraud is now becoming less a defensive strategy. It's becoming more about revenue enablement, about not turning down orders, being able to accept them from around the world so that you can grow your business.
So given those examples and anticipating the holiday season that's coming, where, you know, this is make or break for many retailers. They expect to sell a lot, they need to sell a lot, and they can expect to get orders from all over the place. How do they actually take that strategic examination of fraud and sales growth to protect themselves from being on the wrong side of it?
In the holiday season, because of the growth in volume, what most merchants do is they do more of the same. If they have a certain way that they process orders, a certain way that they evaluate orders, they get more people to process more orders, or they just use the software more that they use to evaluate orders. We just don't see that doing more of the same is going to give them better protection. They have to do something different to handle that increased velocity and increased volume. And my answer is bias. I think they do have to look at the higher quality solutions that are out there for fraud. In our case, it's guaranteed fraud protection. It's the end of fraud losses. But it's also all our partners who have really some of the world's best networks when it comes to identity management or protection. I really think merchants for the holiday season have to think about higher quality fraud protection than just more of what they've been doing in the past.
Let me ask you a question before we wrap about your expectations for fraud for this holiday season, because we observed last year the reversal of a trend that I think has always been present, which is that fraud rates typically decrease during the holiday season, but that's not what we observed last season. What are your predictions for the season we are yet to experience but about to?
Correct. For the holiday season, because of the dramatic increase in volume of sales, the amount of fraud losses per sales dollars, the percentage is lower, mm-hmm. because the fraud doesn't rise as fast. I don't think it will rise as fast, but I believe that this holiday season, it will be an all-out assault on merchants. And there are, this includes the apparel industry. I believe that we will be seeing fraudsters using far more sophisticated tactics. There's way too much data available on the dark web, both financial and personal identity information. They're just in a better position to successfully pull off so many more transactions this holiday season than they ever have been able to do before. And I believe they're going to hold on to a lot of the goods that they're getting and that they're successfully stealing, and they will continue to sell those for months into 2018.
Wow. The implications of that certainly don't make for a very happy holiday season for consumers or merchants, and that's a topic we'll dive into in our next couple of podcast episodes. Sourabh, thanks so much for your time today. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Thanks for having me, Karen.